Estamos estando, mas disse, donde chodnike, né? Donde olha só o rato, a patrera, né? E nem esperem tanto, a frente, a família. Patrão, olha, já gleda, madonna, e não achou.
Riz.
Ele falou, mlad, e então é siu, не та німські обчай, чорні батони. Протиста права вовна. Красно.
Радіска згодба у людих, ті устварює дух часа на радіо студент.
Lep pozdrav in dober večer v današnjem Zeitgeistu. V njem bomo govorili, oziroma tokrat bomo govorili o nevarnih, oziroma celo najbolj nevarnih finančnih produktih. Povod za to temo je nedavno končana tečaj oziroma kampanja z naslovom Evropa išče najbolj nevaren finančni proizvod. Ta je potekala pod okriljem oziroma na inicijativo nemškega europoslanca Svena Gigolda, sicer člana Komisije Evropskega parlamenta za ekonomske in monetarne zadeve. Akcija iskanja najbolj nevarnega finančnega proizvoda se je začela januarja in je potekala v več fazah. Prvi korak je bilo zbiranje predlogov, ki jih je nato neke vrste porota kampanje ocenila in jih 8 od teh poslala v zaključni izbor. Ta pa je bil opravljen s spletnim glasovanjem zainteresirane javnosti. Če gremo na rezultate, v kategoriji proizvodov, ki najbolj prizadenijo okolje in revno svetovno populacijo, so prepričljivo največ glasov prejeli skladi, ki špekulirajo s cenami hrane. V glavni kategoriji, to je nevarni finančni produkti, pa so nekaj manj kot 50% vseh glasov prejele prodaje na kratko nepokritih kreditnih zamenjav na vladne obveznice držav v razvoju. Ali, povejmo to zapleteno stvar, še po angleško, ker bomo v nadaljevanju oddaje slišali tudi precej tudi več pogovorov v angleškem jeziku. Torej gre za naked short selling of credit default swaps on emerging markets sovereign bonds. Že samo dolgo ime nakazuje, da gre za nekakšen zelo zapleten in sestavljen finančni instrument, ki ga bomo v nadaljevanju skušali seveda čim bolje razložiti in pa prikazati njegov potencialno škodljiv vpliv na finančne trge. Njegova osnova je vsekakor kreditna zamenjava na vladne obveznice. Kreditna zamenjava oziroma credit default swaps po angleško so relativno nov finančni instrument, ki so se kot sredstvo za zavarovanje posojil v obliki obveznic pojavili in postali popularni na konec 90-ih let. Pozornost širše, tudi nestrokovne javnosti, so te instrumenti pritegnili ob izbruhu finančne krize leta 2008, ko se je ekscesno trgovanje z njimi začelo omenjati kot nekakšen možen vzrok destabilizacije svetovnega finančnega sistema. Kaj torej so kreditne zamenjave in njihova izpeljanka nepokritne kreditne zamenjave oziroma naked credit default swaps nam bo skušal bolje pojasniti Primo Špinoza, vodja sektorja za nadzor pri Agenciji za trg vrednostnih papirjev.
Kreditne zamenjave so finančni inštrument, s katerim se kupec tega finančnega inštrumenta zavaruje pred nekim tveganjem izhajajočim iz kreditnega tveganja izdajatelja osnovnega finančnega inštrumenta. Zadeva se sliši zelo zakomplicirano, zato bom povedal še nekoliko na drugačen način. Ne? Recimo, da ste vi lastnik grških obveznic, pri čemer ne veste, ali bo Grčija zmožna odplačati svoje obveznosti iz teh obveznic ali ne bo zmožna tega odplačati. Zato kupite ta kredit default swap, se pravi ta inštrument kreditne zamenjave in se s tem zavarujete na ta način, da vam kupec oziroma prodajalec tega inštrumenta garantira, da v primeru, da Grčija tega ne bo zmožna odplačati, on bo potem on to plačal. Naked credit default swap gre pa za to, da vi pač ta credit default swap, ne, o katerem sem prej govoril, kupite, pri čemer pa nimate tega osnovnega finančnega inštrumenta, se pravi, če se vrnem na prejšnji primer, nimate recimo obveznic države Grčije. Pa vse en kupite to zavarovanje pred tveganjem, da Grčija ne bo zmožna izpolniti svojih obveznosti izhajajočih teh obveznic.
Torej ste na strani, ki špekulira oziroma predvideva, da Grčija ne bo mogla odplačevati svojega dolga, recimo v tem primeru.
Tako, ja, gre za to, da špekulirate na to, da bo prišlo do nekega dogodka, zaradi česar bi se potem bi hipotetično prišlo do tega, da bi se cena teh credit default swapov dvignila ali pa da in bi iz tega naslova potem vi ustvarili nek dobiček.
Drug pomemben finančni mehanizem v tem kontekstu so še prodaje na kratko oziroma short selling, ponovno po angleško, ki v osnovi predvidevajo špekulacijo o padcu vrednosti določenega vrednostnega papirja. Pa nam bo ponovno več o tem pojasnil Pinoza.
Gre pa za to, da pač prodate nekaj, česar v bistvu ne posedujete, če sem zelo tako lajčen. Ne. Ni nujno, da si sposodite. Vi v bistvu na dan poravnave morate te papirje imeti, ne? Se pravi, da v tem primeru se jih morate sposoditi, vendar če ste jih v mestnem obdobju pa že prodal, ne? Potem niti ne rabite, da se jih sposodite.
Torej, v osnovi je prodaja na kratko mehanizem, s katerim oseba špekulira na padec vrednosti določene delnice oziroma vrednostnega papirja.
Ja, če govorimo samo o prodaji na kratko, tako je možnost ima se tudi kontra, ne? Da špekulirate pa na... V tem primeru gre pa za nakup na kratko, no, da špekulirate na to, da bo inštrument zrastel.
Zmagoviti finančni mehanizem, ki so, naj zdaj še enkrat ponovimo, prodaje na kratko nepokritih kreditnih zamenjav na državne obveznice držav v razvoju, je torej nekakšna zapletena sestavljanka vseh navedenih instrumentov, ki še poveča kompleksnost vsakega posebej. Mihael Hen je bil eden od članov porote, ki je nominirala prispele predloge za zaključno glasovanje. Hen je referent za finančne trge pri nemški nevladni organizaciji World Economy, Ecology and Development, oziroma skrajšeno WEED. Pa za začetek poslušajmo, kako je utemeljil izbor omenjenega finančnega proizvoda.
Yeah, on this product our idea was that the European Union itself has decided that naked CDS on sovereign bonds are a problem for European bonds, European states bonds, and therefore it would be just consequent to also say that such a product which is betting on third country bonds is also not of any help for these bond markets, for the emerging markets. So it was just the idea that if there is a problem, it's not only for European states, but also for emerging countries. And that's why we as a jury said we want to include this at least into the last four nominees.
Ob tem pa kar takoj opozorimo na dejstvo, da je kompleksnost izvedenega finančnega instrumenta zmedla tudi samega člana porote Hena, ki nam ni znal točno povedati, kaj dejansko pomeni, če se skupaj pojavijo tako kreditne zamenjave kot prodaje na kratko. V osnovi gre namreč za dva različna mehanizma, ki v tem konkretnem kontekstu nimata nekega samostojnega pomena, razen da morda skupaj dodajata izdelku dodaten učinek dramatizacije.
I think that the understanding that is also the one of the European Commission is the same as I have, that there's a possibility to construct a kind of credit default swaps based on derivatives which are then also short selling products. So there is a kind of overlap. For example, in its explanation for the regulation on short selling and credit default swaps, they say, in addition to short selling on cash markets, a net short position can also be achieved by the use of derivatives, including credit default swaps. So we have a kind of a short selling position in a technical sense, which is still, or which is then at the same time a credit default swap position, but it's not necessarily always the same. So there is a, you can have a short selling position if you really have borrowed, let's say, a share or a bond, and then you have a kind of short selling position which is covered, which is not naked, which is then no credit default swaps really. But you can have a short selling position which is at the same a credit swap position. How I also try to explain it, but I think they have the same understanding that it's not, it's an overlap, I would say. I mean, it's also part of the whole problem that we have, that the products are often so somehow mixed and based on each other. And I think if you read about stuff about the financial crisis, even people, I would say, who are technically more in this than I am, they openly admit that the whole thing of these products is often just to be not understandable anymore. And then they give a kind of, and also the terms they use are not really sharp in a sense that you always can exactly say this is this and this is this, because it's constructed in a way, particularly the derivative stuff, that it's often hard to say what it exactly is, finally, if it's still an insurance, if it's a kind of betting product or not, and so on. It will also be that's the decisive point where you can see who is really benefiting and who not, mm-hmm. if they will define it as a default or not, or in which way they really define it.
No, v nadaljevanju nam je Hen vendarle bolj natančno pojasnil, kakšne so možne negativne posledice nepokritih kreditnih zamenjav in prodaj na kratko, in to predvsem v smislu razvejenega trga špekulacij, ki v naš finančni sistem vnaša veliko tveganj in pa destabilizacijskih faktorjev.
I mean, the basic idea of short selling is that you can somehow bet on a falling price. That's one idea of short selling. And if you, for example, are the real owner of a bond, with this instrument you can somehow insure yourself against a loss of your assets or of your bond that you hold. So you can have a kind of insurance. That's why they are also called credit default swaps. So you can somehow as an investor have a product which insures you against the default of this credit or bond or whatever. So that's the basic idea. And to do this, you normally need to also, in the first version, somehow lend you the bond to bet on the falling price, or you have to really own it, and then you can somehow make an arrangement that you can bet on the falling prices. And now this product has somehow transformed into something where you do not even need to own the bond yourself, so you have no own interest in this product. It's just a kind of bet that you can do on the price of this bond. And so you have no own interest anymore really in the bond itself. It's only a kind of bet on the price development of any bonds. And the argument why they introduced this was that it's always improving price discovery, and the prices are always better if you can bet in any kind of way, even if you have no bond yourself. And this is the argument that was valid until the financial crisis, and now in the financial and European crisis. And as the European governments now have realized that it does not really help the markets if you can do all these bets, because it might also move the prices in the direction you are betting on, so it's some kind of self-fulfilling prophecy, they decided that it's not a good product and they want to prohibit it. And it started with Germany in 2010. They said, we think that it's not helpful for the price discovery of this bond. And the EU came later on then, and other states, and the EU has its own law in force since November 2012. It came into force.
Ponovimo torej to zadnje, kar je povedal Hen, da je Evropska unija namreč lansko leto prepovedala trgovanje z nepokritimi kreditnimi zamenjavami na državne obveznice, torej naked credit default swapsi. Prepoved sicer velja samo za državne obveznice držav članic Evropske unije. Podobne prepovedi pa so že prej uvedli tudi v Združenih državah Amerike in na Japonskem. Pri nepokritih kreditnih zamenjavah je torej problematično predvsem to, da investitorji stavijo proti kreditni sposobnosti držav, kar ima lahko, to je med drugim tudi omenil Hen, zelo negativne učinke v smislu samo izpolnjujoče prerokbe. Nekaj podobnega smo lahko videli pri vseh dolžniških krizah v Evropski uniji v zadnjem času. Naprimer, ko je grška dolžniška kriza v trenutku, ko se je začelo špekulirati o morebitnih naslednjih državah z dolžniškimi težavami, povzročila učinek okužbe, ki je na to dejansko zajel tudi Portugalsko, Italijo in tako dalje. Ko je v igri državna regulacija, pa smo lahko skoraj prepričani, da se bo pojavilo tudi veliko njenih nasprotnikov. In najbolj goreči med njimi bodo gotovo zagovorniki ideje o prostem trgu, ki naj bi na najboljši možni način uravnavala transakcije med posamezniki. Eden od njih se je še posebej goreče odzval na kampanjo izbiranja najbolj nevarnega finančnega produkta. Tim Worstel, ekonomist, pisatelj in bloger, ki sodeluje tudi z britanskim Adam Smith Institutom, je še posebej kritičen do ideje o regulaciji kreditnih zamenjav in pravzaprav do kakršnekoli regulacije finančnih špekulacij.
No, I mean it's hogwash. It's completely ludicrous. The actual fact is that speculation reduces price volatility. And this is a well-known finding in economics. Now, it doesn't matter how much various politicians bleat about this and try and assert the opposite, that more speculation reduces price volatility in financial instruments. So credit default swaps, they're just a method of speculating on the credit rating of an organization. More such speculation will reduce price volatility, not increase it. To say that credit default swaps are not transparent is again nonsense. The figures on who has the figures on default swaps open on any particular bond or instrument or issuer, whether a sovereign or a corporation, they're published every day. I mean, we know what's outstanding. They are transparent. The idea that, that a CDS or any other financial instrument actually has to be linked to some real world issue, again, it's just it doesn't matter. This isn't one of the things that's important. One of the effects of banning CDSs, CDS trades, okay, the actual CDS itself, it encourages people to buy bonds. So let's imagine that this particular situation that we're talking about, sovereign bonds. Now, imagine that you were mulling over the idea of buying Greek bonds 2 years ago, and you thought that maybe Greece might get into trouble, but you didn't know. But it was a sort of an attractive idea. So you buy the bonds, and you insure yourself by buying a CDS on Greek bonds. This gives you insurance that if the price of the bonds crashes, you get some to all of your money back. Naked CDSs, okay, they're slightly different in the sense that you don't own the underlying bond. But in any market, you must have the speculators. Otherwise, there is no liquidity. You must have the speculators in the market. The speculators themselves are the people that take the risk that you are laying off.
Mihael Hen dobro pozna vztrajanje neoliberalnih ekonomistov pri njihovih idejah o deregulaciji, kljub temu, da je finančna kriza razkrila marsikatere slabosti ureditve, ki jih te neoliberalci zagovarjajo.
Of course, they are still sticking to their arguments, but I think the financial crisis has somehow proven that at least their pure argument that any speculation is good and so on is just somehow not valid anymore, at least for most politicians and also I think for many academics now. And they try to rethink also their arguments about price discovery and if liquidity is always good and every speculation is good. For example, our finance minister Schäuble, he also openly criticizes now this old argument of having speculation unlimitless in any market, because he says we have now realized that speculation is not always good, and we have realized that speculators sometimes also somehow bet on things and create things that are not to the advantage of the majority of the people. And that's, I think, a shift in the politicians' minds and also a shift in the perception in many governments.
Ogorčenje Tima Worstela nad kampanjo za izbor najnevarnejšega finančnega instrumenta je še posebej veliko, ker je porota po njegovih besedah brez pojasnil zavrnila njegova dva predloga za nominacijo. Ta dva predloga sta bila evro kot valuta in davek na finančne transakcije. Zdaj, ideja, da je evro kot skupna valuta v sedanji obliki in ob trenutni institucionalni ureditvi neprimerna, nikakor ni nova in jo zagovarja tudi del ekonomske stroke, ki jo lahko vrščamo bolj na levi pol ekonomske teorije. No, kakorkoli mi vseeno prisluhnimo argumentom Worstela o tem, zakaj je evro nevaren finančni produkt v navezavi tudi na aktualne dogodke z bančno krizo na Cipru.
Particularly I'd point to what's happening in Cyprus at the moment, where the ECB and the European Union itself seem to be demanding that deposit guarantees on bank deposits are violated. And this is a huge and massive problem, because we have a system of banking called fractional reserve banking. You know, you make your deposit and your money doesn't stay in the bank, it gets lent out to somebody else. Fractional reserve banking systems are delicate, they are subject to bank runs. The solution to this is deposit insurance. And this is the lesson that we all learned in the early 1930s. I mean, it was Milton Friedman and Anna Schwartz who pointed out that what turned the financial crash of 1929 into the Great Depression was the series of bank runs in 1933. And so we seem to be repeating this in the sense that the authorities are trying to get the Cyprus government to renege on the deposit guarantee. This makes the entire European banking system much more fragile. I would say that is the greatest threat to the financial system of Europe at the moment.
Mihael Hen zavrača obtožbe, da je bila kampanja izrazito pristranska in uperjena proti finančni industriji in finančnim trgom. Pri tem poudarja, da verjame, da je na tem področju pomembna in potrebna regulacija, ki bo predvsem zaščitila tiste, ki lahko utrpijo škodo na račun špekulacij drugih.
That's clear that by its whole conception it's something which tries to say regulation for certain products is necessary, which does not mean that it's fully against financial markets, it's fully against any risky product. It's just that certain rules should be kept on the financial markets, which includes that if there's a risk, it should be really be borne by the investor or by the one who is trying to speculate. And of course, if you see that there's a high risk that you have third parties involved in your activity, and they might bear the losses finally, like it was in the financial crisis. This competition tried also to figure out which products might this be that are just too risky and might really cause a third party damage. And if you somehow follow this argument, of course, you are always against people who say there's no problem at all and we should allow anything. But I think the whole project is still something which is really, it's not just a kind of in any way radical or very small minority thing, because the product, also the jury was from very different backgrounds, like from the consumer organization in Germany, and a professor and journalist, and myself as a kind of NGO person, and another NGO person. So it was really a broader jury.
Samo bistvo izredno zapletenih finančnih instrumentov, ki smo jih nekako poskušali razložiti v nocojšnji oddaji, slikovito strne še Primož Spinoza, ki meni, da je njihovo glavno gonilo predvsem generiranje zaslužka.
Ja, gledajte, dokler nekdo na račun tega služi toliko časa, pa tudi to prodajal. Tist, ki to prodaja, njegov namen je zaslužiti. Kakšna je ekonomska logika oziroma kakšna je realnost nekih takih poslov ali pa pač nekega realne, kaj je neko realne ozadje v okviru tega ali pa znotraj tega posla, je drugo vprašanje. Ne? Pač namen tega je izključno samo dejansko ustvarjati denar. oziroma nek dobiček.
Konec izpostavimo še eno ugotovitev, ki jo morda lahko izpeljemo iz današnje oddaje. To je, da se strokovnjaki in politiki, v našem primeru znotraj Evropske unije, še vedno nikakor ne morejo zediniti v vzrokih za nekaj let trajajočo ekonomsko in finančno krizo in potem, kako različni deli tega kapitalističnega sistema, v katerem živimo in delujejo, vplivajo eden na drugega. Težko si zato predstavljamo učinkovit odgovor na pričujočo krizo, saj smo očitno še zelo daleč tudi od njene diagnoze, ki bi morala biti prvi korak. Z nevarnimi finančnimi proizvodi sem se spopadal Matej Šebenik.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, je pa te samo stanimo tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne. In jaz pridem tam, pa tre vrata, pa ne vidiš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna enožo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to je siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črni pa to ne, prav tista prava volna, ne, krasna.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiu Študent.